Granted all the praise and glory.
Oh, that's right. Thank you, Lord.
For He gave His Son on Calvary to die.
Oh, and that's
gave His life on
Golgotha.
Now tell me who.
Oh, let's sing about it, church. You're on the Lord's side. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be back in church tonight? Had a glorious time here over the weekend, didn't we? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? Wasn't it wonderful? Praise the Lord. Just gets better all the time. I tell you what, a lot of folks, I guess church is just something they do, just something they feel obligated to do, but it's the highlight of our life. Do you believe that? Is it the highlight of your day, highlight of your life, getting to come to the house of the Lord? What a privilege it is. It's good to be a Christian tonight. Turn around and look at somebody and say, God bless you. If you want to shake their hands, that'll be fine too. Tell them God bless them. Play some more of that, guys, if you will. Sing it one more time. Oh, now who is on the Lord's side among you? Who will help us join in the fight?
Who is on the Lord's side among you?
Thank you, Father. Oh, tell me who is on the side of the right. Now to God is granted all the praise and glory, for He gave His Son on Calvary to die.
Oh, that same Son gave His life on Golgotha.
Yes, He did. For you and
now
for me.
Tell me who is on the Lord.
A good hand clap of praise tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. And just before we look at our prayer request tonight, Brother Michael pieced something together. This actually happened to a sister here in our church, Sister Clara Davis. That's Sister Boone's daughter. I don't even know if they're in the service tonight, but several months back, she suffered a very, very severe burn. And she said the first thing she thought of when she got burned is when Brother Branham made the statement, if you're cooking and hot grease pops out, and if you won't fear it, it won't hurt you. She said that's the first thing that entered her mind as soon as she got burned. And as she stuck her hand over in the kitchen sink to run cold water on her hand, she said she saw the hide go down off of her hand down into the sink. It was a very, very severe burn. Brother Michael, if you've got that together at this time, I want you, as this is seen, I want you to look at this tonight. God's still real.
Amen.
Now, the devil can do what he wants to with that. That ain't a lie. God still heals.
Amen.
The devil can howl all he wants to that our God's dead and we're not going to get out of here and we're not going to get healed. We'll get healed one way or another. We'll get healed to get to leave here, or we'll get healed to get to stay here. Either which way it happens, it don't really matter, right? I appreciate Brother Michael. God bless you. Thank you for that tonight. Give Brother Michael a good hand for that tonight. Praise the Lord. Sister Ruth Ann Carter wants us to continue to pray for Brother Mac's niece, Cindy. Stage 2 breast cancer. She has had her second chemo treatment. She will have her second chemo treatment tomorrow. Also pray for her salvation. Linda Osborne needs a special prayer from Galax, Virginia. Let's remember that tonight. Kim Lilly says to please be praying for my friend's little boy, Gary Brandon, who is very sick and in the hospital. So we want to remember that need tonight. Tanya Gretji, or I hope I got that name close to right. Dear saints, please help me pray and believe God for a very special need that Jesus has already paid for. Thank you so much. Praying for you also. Let's remember that need tonight. I believe that's from Africa, so we certainly want to pray for that need. This is Brother Neville Marco Rodriguez sends us in. I would like to ask you to pray for my father. For more than a decade, he has been having heart problems, and also his arteries near the heart are badly affected. He's been a servant of the Lord, supposed to go on a missionary trip on April the 29th. They're just asking that we would pray that God would make that a reality. So let's pray for our brother tonight. Sharon Carnes says to please pray for a young sister in a custody case trying to keep her son. They're saying that she is in a cult and they don't want to give the child back to her or let her keep the child. Your prayers are appreciated, so we certainly want to pray for that need. The Lord would be mindful of that tonight. Brother Lewis Lawrence would like to thank God and you for all your prayers concerning tests in his on his heart. His echocardiogram came back with a good report. He wants to praise the Lord for that. So thank God for that testimony. I want to pray for Sister Barbara Gravely from West Virginia. She's scheduled for tests and her heart on her heart in the near future. Let's remember that tonight. I want to pray for Brother Charlie Torres. He has lost the use of his arms, is scheduled for test. He asked the church to remember him in our prayers, so we certainly want to pray for Brother Charlie. I miss him, don't you? Let's pray for our brother and sister, Brother Charlie in particular, that the Lord would be mindful of him. Please pray for Gene Littleton. He'll be having open heart surgery on this coming Monday, so we certainly want to pray for Brother Gene, that family. Pray for Sister Beatrice. She had scheduled surgery but is having pain and asked us to pray for complete healing. So she had recent surgery, so let's continue to pray for that need tonight. The Lord would be mindful. And Sister Irene Pierce says to please pray for the family of my brother who passed away a few months ago. Today his wife was called home to be with him very unexpectedly. It's very hard on the children and the grandchildren losing her so shortly after losing him. Thank you and may God bless. Well, we've got a lot to thank the Lord for. We've got a lot to ask him for tonight. But I know one thing, he's still on the throne. He's still real. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight you'd like for this group to pray about? Brother David Swanson, would you come tonight, lead us to the Lord in prayer? Let's just commit these things unto God, asking him to have his divine will as we stand tonight. Let's join our brother in prayer. Certainly appreciate Brother David, don't we? Amen, buddy. God bless you.
Let's bow our hearts to the Lord. Lord Jesus, sure is glad to come here tonight, Lord, and meet with our, with your people, to meet with you. We're so grateful for it, Lord, for this opportunity that you've given to us once again. Grateful to see that testimony of the sister, Lord, with the hand. It just means a lot to us to know that you're still the great healer, Lord. It just stirred my heart. Stirred my heart to see the picture of our prophet with that pillar of fire over his head, Lord. He means so much to me. I'm so grateful that you have chosen me to believe this message, Lord. So grateful, Lord. Words can't express it. You're still the same God that was with him. That same pillar of fire is here, Lord. And you live in the hearts of your people. So we come before you tonight, Lord, with these requests. Each one's special, Lord. Each one is is a special need to each one that put them in. So we just commit them to you, knowing that you'll take care of it, Lord. We don't have to scream. We don't have to shout. We don't have to do all the things like Catholics would say all their Hail Marys and grab their prayer beads and they do all these things. We don't have to do that. We just simply have to believe. All things are possible. Only believe. So we're thankful for that, Lord. We pray that you'd bless this song service. I pray each one of us would be able to enter in and create an atmosphere so that when the preaching of the word comes, you'd be able to speak to our hearts. May you just anoint the preaching, Lord. Anoint everyone here. Help us to receive from you. We ask these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You're a visitor here tonight with us in this service. We want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming this service tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. We hadn't sung it in a little while. It's still the greatest song, one of the greatest that's ever been. Brother Branham said, I can't wait till the day when I get there to hear George Beverly Shea sing this song on the other side. How great thou art. He's a great God tonight, isn't he? He's a great God tonight, isn't he? Give me one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Harvey, if you and Sister Shirley, Brother Bobby Hayton will come. You can be seated tonight. They have a song for us. Give these singers a nice hand as they come. Get ready to sing tonight. Certainly appreciate them.
I was sitting alone and wondering about what I'm supposed to do. I can't deny at times I made mistakes. I can't hide them from him, he knew. Well, I know that deep within my soul I felt sorry, honest I do. So I just cried and said, forgive me, Lord, forgive me again, will you? So often I'm discouraged when I count the times I fall. 'Cause he promised I'd be victorious when I knew I'm not at all. Then I heard an eagle scream. His voice quickened my soul. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. Justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. Well, he looked at your perfect picture without blemish, spot, or wrinkle. He didn't look at you where you are now. He looked from eternity. He said, you're just trapped in that body. You bypassed your theophany. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. 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 Had not done it in the first place, you're justified. 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 You had not done it in the first place, you're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. Well, he looked at your perfect picture without blemish, spot, or wrinkle. He didn't look at you where you are now. He looked from eternity. He said, you're just trapped in that body. You bypassed your theophany. You have not done it in the first place, you're justified. Sing the chorus with us. Justified. Justified. You had not done it in the first place, you're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
Appreciate that song tonight. Appreciate Brother Harvey, Sister Shirley. Brother Bobby. God bless him. Let's stand tonight. Time going into the service. We're going to try a new course tonight. We don't have the verses, but we'll get those. Our practice session's here just out of this world. We went over this about 2 minutes over in the practice room. Brother Harry and I went over it about 30 seconds back here in this little room. So what you put in is what you'll get out. I hope it's better than that. But this song, I think somebody had said that somebody here in the church maybe was wanting to sing this song. And if you do, you can still do that. But we're gonna sing it tonight. It's got a real meaning, and it's got our testimony. Because I know, I look at myself sometimes and I say, there's no way. There's no way that you're gonna make it. There's no way. But I'm looking at me and I see this. He's looking at me and he sees something else. You ever looked at yourself and had bad thoughts about yourself? Well, the rest of you, what are you thinking? You're little angels, aren't you? Every one of you. God bless your little wings. Praise the Lord. But I'm glad this. I'm glad for one thing, Brother Terry. We're going to make it. You believe you're going to make it? Do you believe you're going to make it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give me one more hand clap of praise tonight. I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would. I'll keep on trusting that He's working everything for my good. He walks beside me, and heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna make it through. Let's sing it now. Brother Donnie comes. Yes, I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would. And I'll keep on trusting that He's working everything for my good. Heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna make it through. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. You love your pastor tonight. Give him a nice hand as he comes.
Praise the Lord. We are going to make it, aren't we?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. I want to speak to you again tonight on the lives of the prophets. We'd like to look again at Moses. I hope this has been a blessing to you. If it's been a little bit of a blessing to you as much as it has me studying it.
Amen.
Help you and encourage you. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Isn't it amazing how consistent that is with the ministry of prophets? That whenever they tell people God said this and God did that, and the people say, the Lord never told you that. The Lord never said that. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. I believe our God still vindicates his prophets, don't you?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we so love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that these things have been placed in the Holy Writ of Scripture for our admonition, for our teaching, for our benefit. As we endeavor to look at them tonight together, Father, we pray that you would speak to us in the lives of these great men that you've used down through the ages. Heavenly Father, I have in my hand tonight two prayer cloths. Lord, one for Brother Gene Littleton that's facing surgery on Monday. Two blockages in his heart, and they were unable to do it with the stents because of where it's at. So they'll have to go in, Lord, and perform the surgery. And we're asking you, dear God, for your mercy, that you would help him and be with him, Father. Lord, also for Carol's sister Sharon. She got bit today sometime, as far as she knows it was today, by a tick. Lord, we're asking you in the name of Jesus that you would just move for her, that there be no evil that will come of this, Father. No doubt there's other needs here in the building tonight and those that are streaming. We bring all of them before you and lay them right there in the presence of God, knowing that you're mindful of each of us today. Speak to us tonight from your word, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Also, you can be seated. Lord willing, we'd like to have communion service this coming Saturday night. So be mindful of that. Let's look, if we could, again to chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me. He is hesitating to obey God. We know one of the signs of a real God-called man is not to want to go. A man who wants to go, it's one of the best signs you can tell he ain't called to preach. Somebody who really has got such a burning something, boy, it's just, I've got to do it. If they're not arguing all the way, even the last 178,000th message that they've preached, they probably haven't been called the whole 57 years they've been preaching. Because there's such a responsibility that comes with it. And Moses he's so changed from what he was that he wanted to become this great ruler and become this man to liberate. And now he's totally shrinking away. But what's amazing is that a man can shrink so far that he gets totally out of the will of God. Now his plea back to God is, they will not believe me. They will not think that you have talked to me. After all, think about it. It's been 430 years since God spake to a Jew. It's been 430 years since God spake to a Jewish leader or Israelite any command so great. And you're this man, which is a former murderer, former Egyptian, and former politician and all that he was, and now he's going to stand up and say that God had spoke to him. Oh my. But the reluctance on Moses' part, it turns, you know, into where it becomes a negative thing. Now he's falling back to his first reply whenever he said to God, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go and follow this?" And this part was not yet overcome. It's amazing how that when gifts of God fall in people's lives, and we know some people battle being called when they're not called a bit more in that pulpit, because, you know, I knew of women preachers in Pentecost, and they had all kinds of visions and angels come to them and all sorts of things. And certain sign, they was born under a certain star, and certain women that I heard preach in Pentecost could outpreach some men that was called, no doubt. But it doesn't mean that's called by the word, but they was born under a certain sign, under a certain start, put them in almost a leadership role, which was contrary to what the word even said. But they had natural leadership ability that some men didn't even have that were called to preach. So they would look at that and feel as if though they had it. You know, sometimes it runs in families. You watch a certain family. Every man in there will be a leader of something. If he's not a preacher, he'll have his own business. He'll be in charge of this and charge of that and charge of that. Can't work for nobody else. Can't stand under nobody else. It's a strain that runs in that family. Oh, y'all should have said at least ouch. Amen. Can God call a person out of that? He certainly can, but it'll be a great miracle, because that man's own nature will work against the call of God. Most of the time, it's a man that most people would never think was ever called to do anything. Calls of God are not hereditary. Calls of God are not hereditary. We're not in the Levitical priesthood anymore, that if your grandfather and your great-grandfather and your uncle and your brother, no, that's not the way it is, friends. And it's not been that way for 2,000 years. God may call one out of a family, and he may skip 15 generations before he calls another. Now, we realize now in looking at this that Moses is fixing to cross a line. Now, a man that really is genuinely called, it haunts him, it torments him, but it drives him, and it's something that he cannot get away from, no matter how much he tries to delay. Now, Moses is putting this out to where, you know, it's a sign of timidity. It's a sign of him not wanting to go. And there's a span of time, a length of time that he can do, go through all this. But then God finally will take no more. Now, Moses is fixing to come to that spot. Now, watch. God had told him this already in Exodus chapter 3, verse 18. "They shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders," notice, "of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews have met with us. Now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey." Now God directly, emphatically tells him, the children of Israel will listen to you. And Moses heard God say that. And Moses turned right around and told God, "They will not listen to me." You mean to tell me a prophet of God would say the exact opposite of what God said and still remain a prophet? It's one thing I begin to find out more and more and more. These prophets were human beings just like you and I. They were stubborn sometimes. They were rebellious. They questioned God's word. Come on, children. You might as well say amen. They questioned God's word. They had doubt. They had unbelief. Now, you imagine Moses standing here right now in absolute open unbelief of what God said. God said, "They will hear you." And Moses said, "No, they won't."
Praise God.
But God had just told him, yes, they will believe you. And you're him in unbelief. It didn't make no difference if God did say it. He didn't want to go. Watch in verse 2. "And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand?" All right, now you say they won't believe you. "Let me condescend to your level a little more, and let me give you a preview of what I'm going to do with you, through you, and by you." Now, had your faith been strong enough, I would have not had to do this right now. But because you are weak, and you need a little bit of special encouragement, I will condescend before the time, and I will show you a little preview of what I'm going to do.
So Moses, now here he is. He doesn't have a lot of equipment. He has a shepherd's staff, which was from 3 to 6 foot long. Most of them had a crook on the end of it. It was for reaching and pulling sheep or lambs in case they would get over and fall off in a rocky cliff or an edge, and the shepherd could not reach down by his arms. So he would extend the arm's reach with his shepherd's crook, and he would be able to hook that crook around the lamb's neck and be able to pull it back up through there. I thank God for the crook on the shepherd's thing, don't you? Many times we've been pulled up by that. So he looks at it and God says, so you're doubting that they'll hear you. You're still wondering about it and you're making excuses. So what is it that's in your hand? Now Moses simply answers according to what he sees. Moses doesn't see a great thing. It's been years and years now, his partner and what he has done taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. No doubt it rescued many a lamb. No doubt it had wore off wolves and all different types of things. They would sleep with it. They were just right there by their side constantly. So Moses looks at it as a simple token of his occupation by which he's currently residing. So God says, what is it in your hand? And he said, well, I mean, nothing but a rod. Nothing but a rod. Now, it had been used for, as I said, for many years in the very position by which the shepherd would use it. But now God is going to transcend beyond what this shepherd staff has ever done before. Now, it had never under Moses' power been able to be transformed from something that was dead to something that was alive and back to something that was dead again. You hear me? It had never been able to transcend into the miraculous or into the mystery of life itself. So God takes something that is very common, very average, and he says, throw it down. So Moses simply answers him and says, well, it's a rod. Now, what's God condensing now to the human weakness in order to strengthen the prophet's personal faith. So here the prophet then responds and he says, well, it's nothing but a rod, and God gives him two commands. The first one is throw it down. So when Moses throws it down, it becomes a serpent. Now we know in reading the Bible that a rod in symbol form, that a rod was used to symbolize a kingdom. You'll find it many times in Isaiah. You find it in Psalms. You find it in the Old Testament that a rod, a scepter, Jesus is actually identified as a rod. And out of that, it was identified as a kingdom. Now, in types and in symbols, a symbol can represent two different things at the exact same time. Now, God is dealing with Egypt and the present condition, but God is also going to deal prophetically with something that will come thousands of years later, which will be the Lord Jesus. Now, this shepherd's rod, this that in the hands of Moses, it could rescue a lamb. It can maybe hit a coyote or a desert fox or a wolf or a lion or something like that and be able to use for many different things. But whenever that rod is yielded to the hands of God, then that rod transcends anything that a human being could ever imagine possible with the same tool. You hear me? Now, in the hands of Moses, it was a nice tool to rescue sheep, hit coyotes, box them in the jaws, hit them up on the side of the head, gouge an old wolf in the side. All that's well and good in the hands of a shepherd. But take the very, very same thing, put it in the hands of God, and watch what it does. Take your life, for example, and you control it. Live the way you want to live. Do what you want to do. Dress the way you want to dress, and whatever. Evermore. Your life probably will never amount to a whole lot. But take that same life, put it into the hands of God, and watch God transcend beyond everything you thought was possible with the exact same human instrumentality. Your eyes are the same, your hair is the same, all that sort of thing, but what was the difference? It depends on whose hands that it's in. In my hands, my life will basically amount to nothing. If I can give my life life into the hands of Him, Brother Jim. He can take and do whatever He wants to with it. Oh, don't you love that? And we know from the examples of Scripture that's exactly what God did. God took a judge by the name of Ehud, and he had one simple dagger, and he allowed God to use that dagger in his hand and brought deliverance to the children of Israel. Shamgar had an ox goad. He didn't have an army. He didn't have a militia or a military. He didn't have an M16 or nothing like that. A simple ox goad that he used to gouge his oxen with. In the hands of Shamgar, up to that time, that's all it was good for. But once he come to his position, his bride place, identifying himself, the same ox goad in the hands of the same man became a weapon that God was able to destroy the enemy. Oh my. Gideon, it is 300 men able to take a trumpet and a candle and all that. My, in their hands it wasn't very much, but in their hands submitted to God, it was able to do supernatural. David with a little sling, which he killed a lion and a bear, and the powers raising each time that God allowed the enemy to come against him. In the hands of David, good target practice. In the hands of David, maybe hit an apple. In the hands of David, maybe hit a small rodent. But in the hands of David, submitted to the hands of God, from a lion to a bear to a Philistine. Oh, praise be to God. Oh, Moses, what is in your hand? Well, Lord, it don't look like much to me. It may be the same with you and I tonight. If God passes by Happy Valley and said, what you got in your life? What you got in your hands? What you got in your capability? Well, Lord, I ain't got much. I ain't a good singer. Lord, I ain't got this and that and the other. And God said, will you trust me? Will you trust me? What do you mean, Lord? Cast it down on the ground. Cast it away from your person. Let go of your pride. Let go of your arrogance. Let go of your ambition. Hallelujah. And let me take that what you've got and watch me work miracles with it. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. You see, friend, the key is not how impressive it is in our eyes or how impressive it is really in the eyes of others. It's what God looks at and what God knows that He can do. Now, yielded a life that would be full of riches, a life that would be full of intellect and capability and influence and ambition, a life that would be filled with all of that, but yet not surrendered to God, God can't do one thing with it. And yet a life that maybe don't have a lot of money, a life that don't have a lot of education, a life that doesn't have a lot of accomplishment, yet that life surrendered to God, God can do more with that life than the lives of millions that have all kinds of things that they think they can accomplish with it. Oh, hallelujah. A shepherd's rod submitted to the hand of God became a sign of power and victory over the enemy. Now, not a great spear, not a shield, not polished armor and all that, but a shepherd's staff. Notice in verse 3, and he said, cast it to the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled away from it. Now remember, the character of Egypt's government was symbolized by a serpent. The character of Egypt's government, every pharaoh on his crown, the symbol on the neophis of his crown was a cobra. So it was a symbol. The rod was the symbol of the Egyptian government. It had become serpentine. It had become under the influence of the serpent. Notice what God does. God has Moses to throw it down. The government, the rod of Egypt. Watch him. The rod of Egypt, the government of Egypt has become a serpent. But Moses, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go in there by my power and by my rod, and you're going to take over the government of Egypt. You're going to take over everything in the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. If you'll surrender yourself to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What's this and why it had to be shepherds? Brother Ram said, Moses, Jehovah displays himself in the shepherd prophet. He gave him three gifts to vindicate his ministry and calling to the elders of Israel. Gifts to vindicate what? Calling to the elders of Israel to Pharaoh. Notice the shepherd prophet. He gives always his prophets the supernatural signs to vindicate that it was God in them. So those who are trying to prove this message is wrong, God will have to vindicate them much more than he vindicated Brother Branham, or we're not going to listen. If all they got is words, you're not going to catch the elect by words. God, even with the apostles, performed signs and wonders confirming the word. Amen. These signs shall follow them that believe. So if there is a new message saying this message is false, let's see God work with them. Well, praise the Lord. Now, so Moses throws it down. God is showing him in the symbolism of what he's fixing to do. You want to have faith, Moses. You want to have confidence. Well, this is what you're fixing to do. I'm fixing to send you down, and you're going to take over Egypt. Watch in verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Oh, my. Now, I don't know much about serpent handling, but I knew though that's not good serpent handling techniques. I've seen snake charmers in India. I've been in some of the zoos there in India with those guys in there with hundreds, I'm talking about hundreds of vipers, hundreds of cobras, all kinds of things in there, and you never see them picking them up by the tail. Where do they pick them up? By the head. Why? So you can guard their fangs. Why is God telling this man? Now notice, he tells him to pick it up by the tail. So God is showing him in his own power, he'll never be able to do this. And even in doing it, it will be risky. You pick up a serpent by the tail, you give him the full length of his body to turn around and bite you. Isn't it amazing how God tests us? If God would have said, put your foot on his head, that wouldn't have been near as bad. But pick him up by the tail? I'll never forget, I was bow hunting in Kentucky one time, and it was warm, late September. And I was coming out of the woods where I'd been hunting that morning, and I walked out through there, and I saw a funny-looking little snake. I mean, you know, a little guy maybe about this long, and it's kind of copper-looking. I thought, is that a copperhead? And I thought, oh, my. So I killed that little thing, and I picked him up. I was going to bring him back to the house and show it to Daddy. So I was walking down through there, carrying my bow, you know, just singing something about the Lord. Come down through there, and all of a sudden, a grasshopper jumped up on my hand. But the problem was, at the time, I didn't know it was a grasshopper. Because I was carrying what I thought was that dead snake by the tail. See? Now I'm going along like this with my bow over my shoulder and that snake over here. What I'm thinking is a dead snake, and a grasshopper jumps right up on my hand. Y'all ever shouted with a snake in your hand? It's quite an experience. I'm not saying I was in the spirit now. I was in the spirit, all right. The spirit of fear. Now, once I looked around, I mean, I went one way, the snake went another, and the grasshopper's eyes was about that big around. And then I realized, I looked down and saw in my hand what it was. Of course, then I died laughing. I dropped my bow and fell right down on the ground. It was just so hilarious. Great serpent man, or I am, huh? Now, if y'all tell that to anybody, I'll know where it come from. Now, you realize then, but to handle a snake that is alive, a cobra? A cobra? And God tell him, pick it up by the tail. Amen. Oh, my. You're conquering, Moses. It's not going to be easy. Even though I'll be with you, it will take an element of your courage that at times will strain you till you feel like at your limits. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been at the back end of a serpent? Him about 4 foot long or 3 foot long or whatever it is. And God said, grab him by the tail. I said, you got to be kidding me, God. You know, I don't like snakes in the first place. Lord, I don't want nothing to do with this sort of thing. And God said, grab him by the tail. But you won't see the miracle unless you grab him by the tail. Oh, hallelujah. Now, watch this. Now, Moses is symbolizing what's fixing to happen in Egypt. But there's also a hidden mystery of Christ that is in this symbol that God is not going to make it clearly known till some thousands of years later. And that is that Christ was the mystery of God that was hid in the Old Testament and would be revealed years and years later. So God hides a symbol underneath this rod as well. And the devil don't pick it up. Now watch this. Brother Bram says this great servant Moses. He said, Moses, throw it down. And when he threw the stick down, it turned to a serpent. Moses fled. He said, pick it up. He took it by the tail, turned back to a stick again. Moses, I guess, could say, I seen strange sights today. So when he seen that stick turn to a snake, now what was that stick? That's what we're going to speak on. What was that stick? It wasn't, oh glory, an ordinary stick anymore. It was the judgment rod of Almighty God. What did it symbolize? The cross. The cross. So watch how the same thing can symbolize two different things and two opposite directions. As the scripture says, out of Egypt have I called my son. Right? Which was Jacob, but also Pilate's greater son, Jesus. Now watch, in this, there is a mystery of Christ that we looking backwards can see, that God hid the symbolism, and Moses is not only carrying the downfall of Egypt, but the downfall of sin. Through what? The cross. Which was a shepherd's staff. Don't you see why it had to be shepherds? Now, notice he said, what did it symbolize? The rod of Almighty God symbolized the cross. Because on the natural, it was wood. But on the spiritual, it was a serpent. So then this rod, when Moses carries it up there, it has one nature. And that is the nature of a stick, of an almond. It was nothing but a tree. But when something, the supernatural, transformed it, what did it do? It transcended beyond what it was made to be by the tree, and it moved it into a supernatural realm. You follow me so far? Now, in the natural realm, it was a piece of wood. But in the supernatural realm, it had been given another nature. And that was the nature of the serpent, which identified Jesus on the cross. Oh my. He says on the spiritual it was a serpent. How could the serpent represent Jesus? The serpent, as it was a reptile, a snake, it represented sin already judged. For sin had judged in the serpent in the Garden of Eden, which was not a reptile. He was the missing link between man and animal. And he stood there, walked upright, the most subtle of the beasts, not reptiles of the beasts of the field. When he was cursed, the legs went off of him, and on his belly he went. And he showed he was already judged when he became a reptile. So what was it? When he lost his legs, he was sin already judged. So he was changed from a walking upright creature to a crawling creature on his belly. So sin judge brought forth a change. Oh, glory to God. Sin judge brought forth a change. Don't you understand? When you come through the process of a new birth and sin has been judged out of you and you are ready for a change within your soul. Oh my, then Christ was sin in the serpent. Already judged. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You see it. Now he picked up the stick. And the supernatural on the stick was a serpent. So natural, it was a stick. Supernatural, it was a serpent. Natural, Jesus was a man. Supernatural, he was God. Can I bring it on down? Natural, you're natural men and women. Supernatural, sons and daughters of God, deity. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Don't you see, friends, why sin must be judged in us as an individual? The judgment of God must break forth on us. Don't you see why church members don't enter into that spot? They get picked up out of the barnyard and they get washed and they get sanctified and they're sat right there empty the rest of their life. But when the judgment of God brings forth on that nature of yours, God's got to break forth on you like he does the earth. But when God breaks forth on that nature of yours and annihilates that nature and sin is judged in you, you will never be a sinner again. Why? Because it is judged in you through the power of the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you once were lost, but you can never be lost again. You once was a sinner, but you'll never be one again. Why? God judged that nature in you and killed it. Amen. Notice in verse 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it. Whew. And it became a rod in his hand. The miracle would have never happened if he had not embraced the promise of God, even though mixed with human fear. Ain't that true, brothers? Even us preaching. When God calls us and God moves on us and God anoints us, the fear ever leaves? Well, that ain't me. I've been preaching for 40 years. Maybe when I grow up, it will. Why? It still scares you to think about what you want to answer for. And if you say something wrong, all that responsibility that lays there. Oh my, you imagine reaching for it with fear in his hand. Yet he's that far from a miracle. He's that far from a supernatural something, but it will not happen until Moses had, hallelujah, strikes the serpent. God is incorporated to where the bride must take this last work. In the last day, the message will not circle the earth just by mailing books and mailing tapes. The bride must grab a hold of it. The bride must take it as a living witness. Oh my. He was successful now. He reaches over with human fear, all kinds of things in his mind, been seeing cobras all of his life pretty much. And he reaches over, and you imagine when his skin touches the skin of the tail of that snake. And all of a sudden, in microseconds, it goes from the scaly feel of a cobra to the rod of God. I wonder how close some of us have been to miracles. I wonder how close we've been to deliverance. But it was that fear of touching it. It was that fear, that little final something of obeying God. It takes courage, friends. Praise the Lord. Notice this in verse 5. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was as leprous as snow. You're wanting signs, or I'll give them to you, and they'll be displayed on you. Smite yourself, prophet shepherd. Do you understand what Moses did? He smote himself with leprosy. So he sticks his hand in his bosom, and he pulls it out, and it's in the last stages of leprosy. Once again, there's two things in view. What God is currently doing and what God is prophetically speaking. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my. Notice the prophet said it this way, and why it had to be shepherds. What a picture we see here. Of Jehovah and Moses, the shepherd prophet. Moses representing God because God was in Moses. Watch him put a hand in my bosom. What a sign. Now there he stands, holding his right hand over his heart, standing like this. Where the hidden secrets of redemption had been hid since the foundation of the world. He didn't put his hand over his kidney. Didn't put his hand over his liver, his gallbladder, over his throat, his esophagus, his eyes. But he put his hand in by his heart. What is it? It's God. God reaching into his heart. God, Moses acting out. Christ, what is it? The slowly unfolded mystery of God acting out. Moses didn't say, thus saith the Lord, I'm acting out the secret of God. But now we can look back at the end time and see he was telling us then, I'm going to bring something forth from my heart. And what was it he brought forth? Something that was smitten by sin. The son of the heart, or the son of God. What come from the very heart of God? God, God Elohim, the eternal, could not be smitten, but it was something from God's heart. Oh, holding his right hand, notice, not left hand, but right hand. Who was it? Christ. holding his right hand over his heart, where the hidden secrets of redemption have been hid since the foundation of the world. Here's why, shepherds. Jesus is God's right hand. We all know there's Moses portraying him exactly. He held the secrets of the Father and showed them to us. Notice, watch him pull from his bosom. His right hand, smitten with deadly leprosy, showed what God would do with his right hand. That's why it was not the person of God, the eternal, who died on the cross. It was the Son of God, or the right hand of God, drawn from the heart of God. Don't you see Jesus with the leprosy all over him? What are you talking about, Brother Donnie? Jesus had to bear our sins. So God pulled from his own heart the attribute of the Son of God and let that die on the cross, which was God in flesh. Amen. So Moses pulls of the mystery of redemption and he sees his hand. Oh God. My God. Why hast thou forsaken me? Oh my, he said, how? Notice again, it wasn't common leprosy. It was in its last stage. White as snow. His hand was smitten. What a horrible thing. How Moses must have felt when he pulled his right hand from over his heart. Out of his bosom, his hand was smitten with leprosy. Leprosy symbolizes sin. Incurable. Especially in its last stage. That's where I was. That's where you were. We were born into the last stage of death. Man that is born a woman is few days and full of trouble. He comes up like the flower in the grass and he lives a little while. We were born in the last stage. Oh my God. We were born in the last stage of the woman tree. But God pulled out of his heart the hand of a man. Amen. It was not the hand of a woman. It was not the hand of a church. It was the hand of a man that came out of the heart of God, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord. Notice it was the prophet shepherd that smote himself. Can you imagine Moses now with an element of understanding that when I put my hand in and when I take it out by my own power, I have power to lay my life down. So he sticks his hand into his bosom knowing God needs a type. God needs a shadow. Now remember, he's speaking present tense and prophetically. What are you talking about in Egypt, Brother Donnie? Sin has been judged. The serpent, the Petraeus on Pharaoh's head has been judged. The rod of Egypt has been judged and it's time for deliverance. Oh, glory! It's time for the government of the serpent to be under the feet of a prophet of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He took by the commandment of God and put his own hand into his bosom and pulled it out smitten with leprosy. The prophet shepherd did it himself. Amen. He smote himself. God's give him this power. Isn't it amazing? He did not smite the Egyptians with leprosy. He did not smite Pharaoh with leprosy. Can you imagine the devil for a long time tried to figure out that second sign? He's still scratching his head trying to figure out what in the world that got to do with Egypt. It was spiritual Egypt, dummy. Don't you love the way God hides his mystery right in front of the devil and the devil looking right at it and he can't figure it out at all? It's the same way today. He looks at us, bunch of holy rollers, and said, what in the world is God doing? Finishing up the greatest work that's ever been on the earth. That's all. That's all. We are the continuation of the work of our Lord Jesus. Oh my, the prophet shepherd did it himself. And the great prophet shepherd Jesus did it himself. I lay my life down. No man takes it from me. He was the great shepherd, the great prophet shepherd. No man takes it from me. I do it of myself. That secret had been in God's bosom all these years, covered by his right hand, Jesus. The great shepherd took it upon himself. Our guilt for us. Now watch, Brother Bam said, notice! It came quick and it left quick. No sooner than the right hand was drawn from the bosom the second time, the deadly disease was gone. When he drew it the second time, and when the great shepherd, the sheep prophet, when he on Calvary's cross, when he paid the penalty of sin for us all, glory, he said, it's finished. Sin was over. The penalty was paid. It don't take you 40 years to get the Holy Ghost. It don't take you 6 weeks to get the Holy Ghost. It can happen that quick if you're willing to let everything go. The very minute that Jesus said it was finished, that great shepherd had come for his sheep. God's right hand was pulled from his bosom, smitten. Then on Easter, he returned it. Look what God did. God removed his right hand, let him hang it on the cross, curse it, all the sins of the world be put there, and then God slid it down in the borrowed tomb. Woo! Hallelujah to God. It was laid down, the borrowed tomb. Praise be to God. But what did God do? Pulled it right back out again. And when Mary comes and said, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended into my Father's bosom. Don't touch me, Mary. I've got to go back to my Father. But whenever I go, you go tell my brothers. Oh, hallelujah to God. I'll meet him in Jerusalem. I'm ascending to my God and your God. By his ascent back into the heart of God, it brought brotherhood to the elect. Hallelujah to God. What did he do? God smit him and stuck it back in again. No leprosy. I am he that was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. I am he that was smitten. I am he that cried. I am he that died, but I'll never die again. I'll never cry again. Oh, hallelujah. That's why he could say, now I'm going back up to my Father. Amen. I'm going back to where I came from. And if I go away, I'll prepare a place for you, my brothers. I'll prepare a place for you, my sister, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, my, listen to this. He says, God's right hand was pulled from his bosom, smitten. Then on Easter, he returned it, amen, and raised it up again to his bosom and extended it down to you and I. Where'd that come from? Where'd that saving hand of Jesus come from? Out of the heart of God, but it had to be smitten. But you and I wouldn't do no good for you and I to have a leprous hand of Jesus. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? Smitten by sin. It had to be received back into the heart of God again. It could not be received into the heart of God with leprosy. But once the debt was paid and God was totally satisfied with the payment that was given, God could slide it back into his heart, pull it back out again and give it a good dose of the Holy Ghost. What was Peter and him getting on the day of Pentecost? The hand of Jesus. Oh my. Oh my. He extended it down to you and I in the form of his word to redeem us back to the original garden from which sin took us. The hidden secret of his great heart was revealed by a prophet shepherd. And it was revealed by a shepherd prophet shepherd. No wonder the mountains jumped and shouted on that day. No wonder the sun hit his face and screamed for joy. Lord, the children, you look at me like I'm crazy. What would you have done if you'd seen the sun? would you have done if you would have seen the sun? The prophet said the mountains jumped. They quivered and they trembled. They were shouting. The mountains was having a Holy Ghost spell and they hadn't even got the Holy Ghost yet. Oh my, the mountains jumped and shouted on that day. No wonder the sun hit its face and screamed for joy. Don't you understand what was happening at the eclipse? When the sun was hiding its face, it was having a spell. The sun, oh glory, the sun, in sun talk, in sun language, the sun was shouting for joy. And he got so carried away a little bit, he caused an eclipse on the earth. Oh, glory to God. The mountains had a spell. Why? They're going to be redeemed. They're going to be redeemed. And the sun was having a spell. Why? Because all Daniel's going to be redeemed. What ought it to do to you and I? What ought it to do to us? No wonder the sun hid his face and screamed for joy. No wonder all nature broke loose. The wind shook the trees till they shook and shook and joyed and jumped. They didn't nod and nod and sleep and sleep. You say sometimes you act crazy, but at least I'm acting more like nature than you are. Nature didn't go to sleep on him. Come on now. Nature didn't start out like an old dried up stick in church. Nature got with the program. When the wind moved through, the tree moved with it. Amen. The wind moved and the tree blew and the tree shook. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the old tree just shouted and danced. Some of you trees and said, "My, my, my." Pentecostal. Call me whatever you want. I'm acting like nature. I'm acting like the sun. I'm acting like the mountains. I'm acting like the trees. No wonder the mountains jumped and shouted on that day. No wonder the sun hit his face and screamed for joy. Brother Don, you already read that. I know, and I'm going to read it again. And again if I want to. No wonder all nature broke loose. The wind shook the trees until they shook and shook and joyed and jumped. They saw UT beat Georgia. Oh, that's what makes some of you jump. You sorry hypocrite. You condemn somebody that rejoices in the presence of God and make a fool out of yourself over a football or a baseball or a soccer ball. The only difference is I'm a fanatic for the gospel and you're a fanatic for some stupid sport. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The sun don't hide his face when UT wins. The sun don't hide his face at Bristol Raceway. The sun don't hide his face when your granddaughter hits a ball.
Her brother Donnie, my Holy Ghost is refined. There is no such a thing. The Holy Ghost don't come refined. Your problem is you ain't got her. If it don't move you one way or another in tears or rejoicing or raising your hands, I question your experience, my friend. You're saved from a devil's hell. You're saved from all kinds of habits. And it never even moves you enough mostly to get you crying or jumping around. Watch, I love the way he says this. They seen the prophet shepherd on the mountain. Redeem every name on the book of life. Do you understand? They wasn't even shouting just for their own benefit. They were shouting for me. Brother Darrell, they were shouting for you. They had a spell because they seen the prophet shepherd had smote himself. And they knew if the sons of God ever come back, they'll get their place. The sun, oh, the moon knew, the stars knew, the trees knew. If the sons of God come back to their place, we'll have our place. They seen the prophet shepherd on the mountain redeem every name on the book of life. And they seen that their own nature was redeemed. Of course, you do know that the earth's name is in the book of life. The Bible is the book of the earth. The Bible is not the book of Mars, because Mars is not found in there. Neptune, Jupiter, Pluto, XBY99, whatever more they find out there, the earth's name is in the book of life. He said, why in the world didn't God start with another planet? Forget this one, because the earth is one of his attributes. Just like you're one of his attributes. And he wrote the earth's name in the book of life. And he called her earth. She's the only one. Amen. She's the only one of the major planets that he has her name in the book of life. That's why Satan can never get her. That's why he can never hold her to the end. Her name is in the book of life. And she is redeemable. Because she, amen, she's in the Lamb's book of life. And when the prophet shepherd smote himself, no wonder the earth started shouting, glory, glory. And the mountain said, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the trees said, praise God, we're going to be redeemed. We're going to be redeemed. The prophet shepherd pulled his hand out. Oh, praise God. They seen their own nature was redeemed. They screamed and jumped. And the world went into an earthquake. All earthquakes ain't bad. I've had a few myself. Woo! I feel one coming on right now. I believe it's a 7.7 on the Holy Ghost scale. Amen! Where the Spirit of God quakes the earth. Isn't it amazing, the earth was so in tune with the work of redemption that the earth started shouting and rejoicing. And the preachers was totally blind to what was going on. I wonder if nature ain't synchronizing up here in the last days. She's groaning. We can't hear, but she's groaning. She's crying. They can call it global change, climate change. I'm looking beyond climate change. I'm looking to millennium change. Well, they say by the year 2075, don't worry about it, but then Jesus will have it under his control. Listen to this. They screamed and jumped, and the world went into an earthquake, and the mountains rent, and the rocks fell out, and the sun went down. And everything took place like any meeting when the shepherd reveals to you that it's finished. Oh, glory! Hallelujah! What was happening to the earth? The earth was sitting in a good Holy Ghost old-fashioned meeting, and nature heard the sermon, it is finished. And when the earth heard that, the earth started shouting, glory, hallelujah. And the trees started shouting, everything, well, glory, hallelujah. I can't even hold myself still. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen.
Let's stand. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful the prophet shepherd was willing to smite himself. Weren't you?
He had to be a willing lamb. Men couldn't make him do it. Even the Spirit couldn't force him to in Gethsemane. But he must have the release from the garden. Not my will, but thy will be done. So when he does that, he slides his hand into the bosom. He walks into the garden of Gethsemane, an anointed son of God. He walks out a sinner. And the anointing left him in the garden. And he forsook his sonship. The prophet tells us, forsaken on Phoenix, 1962. He had to lay aside his sonship in order to make sinners sons. If he would have kept his sonship, you couldn't have been one in that status. So he laid aside his sonship, stuck his hand in and said, Father, I'm willing to become the serpent on the pole. I'm willing to become your right hand smitten all these millions of years. I've been your right hand, the Logos. Your right hand, the white light. Your right hand, the theophanic appearance. I've been all of that. But now I'm willing to pour from the very secret of your heart what the Jews will never believe. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So he becomes the serpent wrapped around the pole. And Satan looked at him and thought, that can't be him, can it? If that's him, that would make him breaking the scripture in Deuteronomy. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So the bee of death comes buzzing around him. He's coming very precautious because he was there that day at the tomb of Lazarus. And I mean, Jesus put a whoop up on him real quick. He was there and that little girl was dead. And he seen when Jesus said, Talitha kumi. And the little girl got up. But despite all that, now he sees him hanging there and his blood pressure dropping, his heart rate and all that sort of thing. He looks like a man, smells like a man with death on him. Has that stench about him of his blood and his body odors. All that smells like any other human. So it comes zzzz at distance first. Satan said, move in a little closer. So it comes in zzzz real precautious. Zzzz. 10-4, Satan, this is death. Checking back in hell there. Certainly smells like Moses or any of the rest of the men that I've killed before. His lips is quivering. His eyes are so weak he can't hardly hold them up. His head is swollen up about the size of a tub there. His heart's just barely beating. Ain't no way it could be God. Move on in for one more pass before you put your sinker. Yes, sir. Over and out. So he guides him. Gets right up there. Jesus don't even bat an eye. He's coming and going in and out of consciousness. He can barely see. His lips are swollen. He's so thirsty. Death is totally convinced. 10-4 there, Satan, clearance for landing. This can't be him. Roger, go ahead. Go ahead and land. Target identified? Identified. Fire the bomb of death. So here he comes. Made the landing. Stinger now injected in body. Body now clamps up on stinger. Mayday! 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 Bad mistake! Bad mistake! Help! 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 No, bee of death, it wasn't May Day, it's Cross Day, Cross Day, Cross Day, Deliverance Day, Set Free Day, Redemption Day, hallelujah! It was the hand that was put, hallelujah, out of the heart of God! So they take him down off the cross. It was Friday.
Sunday was coming. They take his body and lay him there. Of course, it didn't take Satan long to realize he'd made a bad mistake. Because he heard this great thumping on the door of this house. Glory to God. Jesus didn't conquer hell from heaven. He conquered hell from hell. Woo! Hallelujah. Knocked on that door, glory to God, and reached in there and grabbed a hold and got the keys. And the prophet said he kicked that door, oh my, so tight, shut tight and so hard. He kicked everything on the walls of hell off of it. And then he started in the lowest parts of the earth. And then he started ascending up. On his ascension, what's he doing? Bringing out saints. Can't you see in the ascending of the body word as you come up through Luther, Wesley, Pentecost? What is it? He's bringing saints in his ascension. Oh, glory. And then when he comes up, there's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all of them. When he comes up to them, he said, lift up the everlasting gates and be ye lifted up. Amen. Oh, the King of Glory is coming back into the bosom. How do we know you're the King of Glory? Here is the vindication of my resurrection. Saints. Saints. Lord God, have mercy. You want to look around and see a living God? Look right here. Look around the world. What is it? Saints are the vindication. He is alive. Look at your life that you live by the word. The saints of God are a vindication of his resurrection. Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being willing, great prophet shepherd, to smite yourself for my sake. If the trees shout and the mountains shout and the earth had an earthquake, what's wrong with me having one? Glory, the Spirit moving on us such. Glory to God with dynamics. The prophet explained it to the people when he preached the seals. When he goes to see them, things in the Word. He said the stimulation building up so much. He said, I'm about to go to cutting up. He said, that's what I mean. And when you hear me say, I'm feeling religious. The stimulation is getting so much, I'm about to go to cutting up. Oh, where some of these people go to cutting up sometime under the influence of the Holy Ghost. They realize what it is, Lord. I don't want no rock crying out in my place, Lord. I don't want no maple tree and no oak. Oh, if they want to rejoice with me, that's all right. But Lord God, I want to shake and quake under the power of God. Lord, not only that, but I want to live just as high as I jump when I get done shaking. Hallelujah. Well, I believe my name was there, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, how you hid yourself in the lives of these prophets. You're Moses standing in weakness, even questioning God. And out from under that symbol of weakness come one of the greatest types of the cross. It's because Satan don't understand many times in human weakness is when you express yourself in some of the greatest manifestations. They want to pick on Brother Branham. Well, Brother Branham was a man. Brother Branham, why don't they read the Bible? They'll find every prophet you ever called done the exact same things. He was a man. He didn't want to go. He failed. He made mistakes. That's the kind of people you use. But you hid your mystery in their lives. Oh, praise God. We love you, Lord. Lord, I'm still rejoicing from this weekend. The things that we heard about your word. My, then here we come together again, and Lord, you just set another table for us out here on Wednesday night. Lord, sometimes it don't feel like we have the words to say. We just use the ones that we know. We love you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your precious word. Oh, God, I think of people living in Saskatchewan and living in different parts of Canada and different parts of the states. No church to go to.
left a stream here, Brother Tim's or wherever more, different parts of the world, can't go to church. Lord, and they sit right in their living room and have church and rejoice and shout and all that. And I think, Lord, here we are. We're privileged. Those of us that live close enough can come to church three times a week and be able to not stream it, but Lord, be able to be right here in the presence. May we not take it for granted, Lord. Lord, may we not be like Laodicea. Laodiceans are so ungrateful. We've got more than any age probably that's ever been, and we're the most ungrateful age as far as many of them. Help us, I pray, Lord. Amen. We love you, Lord Jesus, with all of our hearts. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, and your mercy. Hallelujah. Can we just raise our hands? Just pull him up real close, as it were. Just before we go. Oh, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you so much, sweet Jesus. Thank you, Holy Father. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We love you. We worship you, Lord God, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Here, let's sing together, Leaving on the Mount. Thank you, Lord. Friends, if it can be this good in these kind of bodies, under these old negative kind of conditions, what in the world will it be when we gather there in the presence of God? Let's sing together just before we go. The old house that I'm living in is needing a lot of repair. The windows and the shutters letting in the cold air. I say to myself, I'm gonna fix them when I can find the time.
Looking for a better place to live. I can't seem to get excited about this world and all it has to give. I couldn't care less if I could buy it all with one solitary dime. What good would this world do me with this rapture is on my mind? Lately all I've got is leaving on. That's all I'm thinking about. So much of the time, soon and very soon I'll leave this troubled world behind. Oh,
I've been thinking about so much of the time. Soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles far behind. So much of the time, soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles far behind. Lately I've got so much of the time, soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles far behind. Oh, lately I've got leaving on my mind.
We say with you, Lord Jesus, it is finished. It is finished. Hallelujah. We're waiting for our body to manifest it, waiting for the earth to manifest it. But we're so confident in your word, we can say it like you. It is finished. The devil's reign is over. Sin is annihilated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Lord. You love him, saints. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Darrell, would you come? Dismiss you. God bless you, saints. See you this weekend.
Praise the Lord. No, Brother Bram said that we are the evidence that Calvary was a success. We are the evidence. Hallelujah. Don't you just love him tonight? Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, sometimes, Lord, we just don't know what to say. Not a smart person, Lord. I don't know fancy words. But I am so glad, Lord, that you understand the language of the heart. So from the depth of my heart, I speak to you tonight. And I say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for this end time truth. But I think, Lord, that the Son shouted for me. Oh God, we are so grateful to be your people. There is no God like you, Lord. Man makes gods out of stone and out of wood and out of their imaginations. But to us, all they are is idols that'll be crushed into the dust of the earth. But thou art God, and we worship you from the depths of our souls, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for the honor to stand in your great presence, Lord. We could have never stood in your presence if it had not been for Calvary. That we could stand back in our proper position as sons and daughters of God. Lord, thank you for the word tonight. Bless Brother Donnie. Restore his strength to him, Father. Be with each one as they make their way home, Lord. Heal our sick, dear God, we pray. Encourage those that would maybe be discouraged. Pour out your spirit, Lord. Seal us, dear God, into the day of our redemption. We thank you tonight, Lord. We just love you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for us. For all that you've given us, Lord. We just love you tonight, God. We just love you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Father. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you. All within I give you praise. The door is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Hallelujah. Every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Is that the way you feel tonight? Let's just sing it to him as we go. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I give you praise. Bless you, saints. You can go in the fear of the Lord. Yes, Lord. Is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for every breath that I take, every moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I give you my heart.
give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I wake.